Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host Shane Lees, and joining me this week I've got Richard Hero Hudson.
Good evening.
I'll never get tired of hearing that. And I've also got Anthony Kendrick.
Good evening.
Okay, and this is
You can't copy my good evenings.
Everybody gets tired of hearing it.
It's only when he does it. It's like honey to the ears. I've got it on repeat. I turned down the volume on the porn and put that on instead. I'm kidding. Right, this is a continuation of the show we released on, I think it was Saturday. So we're doing the other half of the Premier League teams that we didn't quite get around to doing. So first of all, the one I want to talk about is Sunderland. Now, Sunderland have done no transfer activity, I'm fairly certain. Let me just get that up. Yeah, they've done nothing. Oh, they've sold Emanuele Gacciarini, the one who did so well for Italy, and Santiago Vergini. They've sold those two players for fairly insignificant funds. They've not brought in anyone yet, and that was obviously because Sam Allardyce left the manager, who was saving from relegation. He left to go and get the England job, and they brought in David Moyes. Do we think this is a good appointment?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's proved he's capable of managing in the Premier League. He's obviously had a bad time abroad with Sociedad, but with Everton, he brought long-term success, and I think he can turn Sunderland into a decent mid-table side, similar to what he did with Everton.
I think he's a decent enough manager for that level of club. I think the first thing that he needs to do, though, is just get over Man United.
Well, he keeps getting asked questions about it. He didn't mention it until someone asked him the question. I don't know what he's meant to do. Is he meant to say...
No comment!
I don't think realistically
I'm here
to
manage
that.
Sunderland. That's... stop going on about it.
I think you've got to remember, especially as Man United fans, Man United is such a big club that he will never stop being asked questions about Man United. He will never be able to escape that. I think he knows that.
That's what the journalists want, though. They want to, a few lines of him about United, and they can say, "Oh, you'll never believe what Moyes says about his time at United." And he keeps getting asked questions about it. I don't know what he's, I guess he could always say no comment. You're right, but
if he says no comment, then the journalists are going to get uppity about the fact he's not talking about it.
The
one plus in regards to his hang up with United is that he wants to buy some of the shit that we've got.
Januzaj and Fellaini, I presume you're talking about, are both good players, and I think Januzaj could do with a move. I was hoping he'd be a success at United, but now I think a team like Sunderland, he could show something there. Fellaini would do well at Sunderland, but I think he's got something to offer at United still.
I think Fellaini's days are numbered at United if Pogba comes. Because it's Fellaini that can do more things.
I mean, personally, I actually think Fellaini is incredibly underrated, especially by United fans, considering for what he does. Like, you might not like the way he plays football, but for what he does, I don't think there are many better players at it. I think he'd be too good for Sunderland. I think if he's going to leave Man United, he will have big offers from abroad and even from in this country. I think there'll be a lot of clubs interested in him, because I think he's quite underappreciated at United, and I think there's plenty of other managers and teams out there who will look at him and go, Jesus Christ, he is exactly what we need, a one-man wrecking machine.
It depends on David Moyes, though, how much of a pull, because obviously it's the same with Januzaj, he was flourished under David Moyes, and Fellaini obviously brought into Everton, then United. Is that, how big is that to him? And Sunderland, he would be the main star.
Yeah, but you've also got to remember, Fellaini moved to Man United for, 27 million, something like that? His value will not have dipped below 20 million in that time, especially considering the fact he's been doing well at international level. He has been doing well at club level. He's improved as a player, I think you'd have to say, since his Everton days. He's got a better record now than ever. And so you'd say, if anything, his value may have at least stayed the same. Could Sunderland afford him? Because the owners of Sunderland are notoriously tight with money. They do not spend big money.
Under David Moyes, that they'll wait, they'll put an offer in, they'll think about putting an offer in now, because United will say they can buy him, and then they'll wait until the last day of the transfer window and pay us an extra 5 million.
Well, the talk is $45 million for the pair, Fellaini and Januzaj. That was what Sky was saying, Sky Sports.
That's a lot of money for Sky.
How ridiculous transfer fees have got.
Yeah, you're going to agree with me now. We were disagreeing last time. No, but personally, and this is something I thought about Sunderland for a while, and I think I've echoed this sentiment with Newcastle as well over the last of the season's podcast, is they are just sleeping giants. And what they need, I think Sunderland have got one of the managers now who could really take them forward, who could do with them what he did with Everton, which was make them into a side that is constantly challenging for European football. Maybe not always Champions League, but they're, you know, they're always in and around fifth, sixth place. He could do that with Sunderland. The question is, will the board actually pull their fingers out for once? Because I think the Sunderland fans do have a gripe with the board, and they're right to, because you look at sort of the mistakes that club makes, it's not necessarily footballing mistakes so much as it is just genuinely shocking decision making at the top level. It's not putting in the transfer funds, and when it is putting in the transfer funds, it's signing players who are just sheer risks, like the Santiago Virginie signing that they made a few years ago. And you think, gods, were there not better centre-backs you could have signed for that kind of money who would probably have been more reliable? You look at the likes of James Tompkins. He's moved to Crystal Palace for about $9 million. Surely that's a signing Sunderland could have made. As much as I think he's a good appointment.
Sunderland always have is that who wants to ever live in Sunderland?
Yeah, as much as I do think that's a problem, you've also got to remember, especially if you're a foreign player coming in, you're not really going to know too much about, you know, Sunderland or anything. You're going to know London, and you're going to maybe know Manchester, and that's it. You'll be looking at the money. You'll be looking at the money rather than going Premier League football, bang, 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 I want all of this. So I think they still have that sort of level of appeal that any other Premier League club has. It's just whether or not they can actually make the right decisions and are willing to commit funds to go and do it. That's for me what holds Sunderland back, because I do think they are sleeping giants. The amount of people they get to that stadium every single time, the amount of passion they've got in the fans, and it genuinely could be a fairly big club, at least on the same sort of stature as Everton have always been at.
No, I've never put them in an Everton.
No, I'd say they could be. They're not there yet. Right now, they're the sort of West Brom sort of standard of club. But with a manager like David Moyes, if they play their cards right, they could grow properly. They could do what Everton did. I just worry whether or not the people who are actually making the decisions at Sunderland, which will not be David Moyes, will be the board members and all that lot. I wonder if they've got the right heads about them.
Well, yeah, it depends if David Moyes, you know, if there's a Sunderland form, will he be trusted, or will he, you know, or will they just sack him and move on? Because, I mean, well, I guess they've been quite quick to sack managers, but having said that, I think in the last few occasions there's not been much alternative, which, you know, Poyet and Advocaat and, you know, the last few before that, there wasn't really much, you know.
Yeah, but after a certain while of doing that, you end up creating an almost guarantee where that's going to happen in the future. For example, we can say, okay, yeah, they had to sack Poyet, they had to sack Advocaat, they had to sack Di Canio, but maybe we should also be saying they probably shouldn't have got half of them in the first place. I mean, for me, I do think there's some good signs. For instance, they've cleaned out a lot of dreck in that squad. I mean, I think Gatterini's gone, Virginie's gone, Mandron's gone, Fletcher's gone, Graham's gone, Harper's gone, Rob Burge has gone, Wes Brown's gone, I think, who's the other ones? And I think that might be it. But yeah, all of these players have gone. So that their wage budget, that's going to have cut their wage budget by about 300,000, 400,000. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign. And maybe it's a sign that Moyes is getting more control over what he can do with that squad. Because I think if you're David Moyes and you go and you're going to look at the size of our squad, you're going to look at your wage bill and go, can we not just cut some of this out? We do not need half of this. Yeah. So,
well, Defoe will score goals from next season. You know, you can guarantee that. And Kasri, I really like, the winger who came in January. He's a really good player, I think. He's pretty strong, but he's also very skillful. And yeah, I think he'll have a good season.
I think if they were going to bring in any manager to build on what Sam Allardyce did at that club, which was stabilise them, I think it was always going to be someone like Moyes. I think he's got a very good opportunity there. For me, it's just fingers crossed, because I do hope Sunderland do well, because especially, you know, the northern teams have not been doing particularly well in recent years, especially in the North East. So I'm hoping at least one of them can go on and do a bit better.
You know, they're absolutely guaranteed to take at least 3 points off United this season.
Probably.
Trap win again.
Yeah.
All right, okay, let's talk about West Ham. Now, they've obviously got their big stadium move. That's all done now. So they are into the Olympic Stadium. Oh, I can't remember what the...
Is it going to be the Olympic Stadium, though? Because I've heard that it's going to be called the Tesco Stadium.
Good Christ, that's terrible. Sorry, West Ham fans, but even you have to agree. That is awful. I bloody well hope not.
They have no say in it whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no, Christ, yeah. keep your fingers crossed, West Ham fans.
That's what you get for pulling a Phoebe.
That's sportsdirect.com stadium.
No. Sports Direct at least had sports in the title of a stadium. Tesco Stadium. Buy your cheap sausage rolls here. This is just terrible. Tesco Stadium.
I guess all the if they use Tesco Metro prices in the shop, in like, the kiosk, then at least it'll be cheaper for the fans. Like, you get a cheaper... You know, cola or whatever.
Yeah, well, tell you what, I like Olympic Stadium as a name. It sounds kind of epic, and you know, you've got plenty of other stadiums in the world with a similar thing. You've got a bit of reputation you can steal. Right, they have been decently busy in the transfer market, and I think they've been quite impressive in terms of what they've done in terms of free transfers. Now, in free transfers, they brought in Sofyan Feghouli from Valencia, and they brought in Havard Nordveit from Borussia Mönchengladbach. Both 26 years old, one's a defensive midfielder, one's a winger. Both free transfers. I mean, that's good business. That's got to be, right?
Feghouli's got an attitude problem. I think Feghouli's a 50-50. He could really go on and do something like Payet did. He could, you know, have a problem, you know, mentally, and just say, I don't like it, and, you know, sort of like what Di Maria did at United. I'm trying to think of another example. But, yeah, like a Di Maria, and just be all sulky and unhappy and, yeah. It's a 50-50, I think, with Feghouli. Nordveit's an all right player, yeah. Hard to judge, really.
Especially with what I was saying in the last week's podcast, I was saying that I don't think clubs like Southampton, for instance, can do what they do for much longer, which is go out and sign as good or better players as what you've got for cheaper than what you've just been selling them. But I think if you're going out and signing those kinds of players for a free, which, you know, aside from wages, I'd say is relatively risk-free, I think that's good business, and it's shown that, especially after a, you know, a big stadium move, that they're not going to be rash, but they're going to try and still make intelligent transfers. So I think that's a good sign.
They have been wanting to bring in a big name, haven't they? They've been putting in bids to the likes of Lacazette and stuff.
Oh yeah, they've not just been pumping away money. You know, they've not gone, we've got a big stadium, we've got to step up immediately and spend £120 million in this transfer window. We're not going to overlook these, you know, the free transfers and the lower budget transfers simply because they now think they're too big a club to do that. Some clubs do go that way. And I think it's a good sign that they've not quite got too over their heads yet.
Well, Tevez, they wanted, but he demanded £250k a week. That's what the chairman said. And therefore, they didn't sign for that reason. If that's true, I think that's good business, to be fair, like not signing Tevez and caving into his demands.
The two that they're heavily linked with at the moment is Caleri.
Jonathan Caleri, yeah.
Who's meant to have passed. He's just waiting for his work permit.
Who's that, sorry?
Jonathan Caleri, who looks a decent talent, certainly. Similar to Dybala.
Does he Boca?
Right. Who does he play for? I've never heard of him.
Is he Boca Juniors?
It was Deportivo Maldonado.
I've no idea.
Argentinian team. The league we know really well.
He was looked at by quite a lot of big clubs, so it's a bit of a steal for West Ham on that one. And the other one that, that they're heavily linked with now is Gomez.
Yeah, that would be a big signing, especially because now fans could sing the song, the Mario Gomez song. That's an amazing one. Do we not know the Mario Gomez song?
Give us this.
Mario Gomez, Mario Gomez, Mario Gomez, cha cha. No.
Me and my mate used to call him Bass Hunter.
Oh, I don't know why.
He looked like him. We thought.
I thought Bass Hunter was a woman. That explains how much I know about music and my singing ability. The other transfers they have already made is Manuel Lanzini, who has impressed them for, I think, about 2 years on loan. They brought him from Al Jazeera in, like, Qatar for $10
million. Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah, he's been very impressive. He's shown he can do it in the Premier League. They've also brought in Gökhan Töre from Besiktas. That's not Töre as in, you know, Ivory Coast. It's Töre as in Turkish. They brought him on loan. Yeah, but he's 24 years old. They brought him on loan. It's a fairly costly loan fee, I think. It's about £3 million. So I think it shows that they're clearly going to try and sign him after they've got him on loan. I think that's a very good buy because he's a very good player and he fits the Premier League quite well. Fast winger. Actually has a bit about him defensively. He seems like a natural fit for the Premier League. Tony Martinez, a young player from Valencia they've signed, who was very highly rated, bought him for $3 million. And a player from Man United under-21s, Ashley Fletcher. Do we know anything about him?
He was quite possibly going to be the next one to have come through the ranks at United.
Hmm. It's not very likely now, is it?
Well, no. Well, he was certainly pushing to be getting into the squad this season at United.
I was aware of Fletcher. I do occasionally go and see the under-21s, but yeah, I guess he's not going to get any opportunities to get into the squad there. There's no point in United even having an under-21 side anymore. So, yeah, they may as well all just go to West Ham. That's what I say.
He generally outscored Rashford in the youth teams.
I can believe that. Well, yeah.
But I mean, looking at the transfers they've done and looking at the kind of thing they're trying to do, do we think West Ham can progress from what they did last season? I think they impressed last season. They dropped off a little bit towards the end and they finished seventh place. And I think they've lost their first leg of the Europa League. And have they gone through now? I can't actually remember.
They've lost the first leg. I think the second leg's to be played.
Yeah, second leg's to be played. Do we think they can improve on what they did last season?
Yes.
Definitely. I think they could be the Leicester. Well, maybe not as far as Leicester, but I think they could be like a top four shout. I think they're going to seriously, overachieve. I think they're going to be in with a shout at top four.
I think they'll be pushing Arsenal for fourth this year.
Pushing Arsenal for fourth. Arsenal
for the last few years, in fairness to Arsenal, they've not been fourth for two seasons now.
Yeah.
Third and second. But I think Arsenal will... Well, last week on the podcast, I said that they would drop down to fourth again this year. I would have West Ham as the closest contenders to it.
Okay, I mean, I personally think if they can make one of these big transfers they're trying to make and not be overly ambitious and get their own kind of character or try and make too many of those transfers... I do worry, personally, as a Southampton fan, that they're going to now push past us. Because I think we maybe have relatively stagnated a little bit in terms of not really showing any real progression. Whereas I think West Ham, they do seem to be showing real ambition. Every time I see them being linked with, the likes of Lacazette and all that lot, I think, they're probably not going to sign him. But gods, I wish we were at least being linked with them. So
yeah, they're making moves, West Ham, and they're making moves in the right direction.
Yeah, they're giving it a proper go.
I think they've already gone past Southampton, sorry.
I think with the fact they're a London side, they've got the Olympic Stadium, they're really trying to use this and push on and become like one of the top clubs. I think they're really going to, challenge. I think I think along with Man City, they're probably one of the best run clubs and they have the most, potential to go on and do something.
I disagree on the best run clubs. I think the board of West Ham are a bunch of jokers.
Oh, right. I think they've done quite well.
I think they've personally got quite lucky.
I would say words that would probably get me involved in slander.
Yeah, I personally think they've been quite lucky, and they've sort of had the reverse of Sunderland in that they've had very good luck on the pitch. They've had a series of fairly good managers and good players that have sort of masked the mistakes of the board. And I think now that they've actually starting to generate real money at West Ham, I think the people in the board are maybe trying to start and take this a little bit more seriously. Maybe that's what's going on. But we'll move on from West Ham. It's all very optimistic for them, which is not good for Southampton. But let's talk about Swansea. Now, they had a pretty poor season last year. They were a club that were continuously progressing. They looked like they maybe could be going on to do this kind of thing Southampton and West Ham are doing, which is start challenging for European football. They dropped right out of it. They were almost getting relegated at one point. Now, they brought in... they've kept the manager, haven't they? They've kept in Widolina, which is... Yeah, I actually figured out how you were supposed to pronounce that. Widolina. Yeah, they've kept him in, and they've not really shown too much ambition, I don't think, in the transfer market. I worry a bit about Swansea, because Swansea are a club I kind of like. I mean, they've signed Leroy Fer, and they've signed Mike van der Hoorn from Ajax, but they've lost Palocci, they've lost Adair, who scored the winning goal, but was absolutely crap in everything else he's ever done in his career. They've lost two players, they've signed two players.
They've lost Gomes as well, haven't they?
Yeah, oh yeah, but he's gone very recently, isn't he? On loan, though. Yeah.
Yeah, he's out on loan, but they won't have him next season. Is the point?
Yeah, I look at what Swansea are doing, thinking maybe what they're thinking at the moment is they're trying to stabilise. Okay, we had a dodgy season last year. Let's just hold our own for a little bit. You think a club like Swansea, they can afford to be ambitious? Because in the Premier League, you kind of have to.
Is this a Sunderland thing, though? You say about not wanting to move up to the north, live in Sunderland. Who wants to go and live in Swansea? No disrespect to Swansea fans, because I've been there and quite liked it. But
I like Swansea. It's moving to Wales.
Live, saying you're going to live in deepest, darkest Wales. I don't know, I don't know. They've said they need to get a couple of strikers in, and they do. I think Ayew's a good player, but other than that, yeah, they need Mario Gomez or something, don't they?
Andre Ayew looks like leaving to West Ham. That's transfer looks very nice.
Looks like he's leaving. They're getting a lot of money for him. I think,
because they bought him for free transfer,
particularly well at the beginning of the season, but then dropped dramatically in form as the season went on. But Ashley Williams. Yeah, strong rumours he's going as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I look at Swansea and I sort of think they had such good momentum, because they had sort of 2 or 3 years where they were continuously getting better, they were playing the right kind of football, but unlike what happened to us at Southampton, they didn't lose all their players. But the difference with us and Swansea is that they didn't go and sign better players. I think they sort of stood still a bit and thought, no, we can keep doing this. We can keep doing this. We can keep getting in, every time we lose a manager, we can keep getting in another one who's slightly better, and the players will stay as good as they are. I think they've kind of been found out a little bit.
Well, it's Gary Monk.
It's going to be a very long season for a Swansea fan.
I think they're going to either go down or... Well, they're going to be in the relegation battle, I'll put it that way. I think Gary Monk, sacking him maybe long-term, was that the right thing to do? I think at the time, I think I said I agreed with it, but I think it was a... I think it's a difficult one, that... I think he'll go on to do well at Leeds, that's another matter, but... Yeah, maybe something else to think about.
Another side, the ones we mentioned last week where... The chairman there, I've got a glass ceiling, and they never want to break it. And I think they're happy to be struggling.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, especially because they're one of those clubs, they're not a club like West Brom where you sort of think, yeah, they really do have a glass ceiling because they are not trying to improve. They are not trying to, do anything special. A club like Swansea had so much good momentum going for it. They could have done what Southampton did because they were the equivalent version of us, playing that possession kind of attacking football, sort of flamboyant. They've got the good managers. They keep improving on the managers. I think they could have done exactly what we did. They could have done what West Ham did, because we all came up at a sort of a similar time, after we'd, spent our years down there. And I sort of think, why did they stop? I can't really understand why they've tried to drop off as much as they have, because they have not shown any real ambition. The only thing I can think is that they thought it would just keep going as well as it was without doing anything different. That's the only thing I can think that maybe happened there. We probably said all we can say about Swansea. So let's talk about another club, a club who... quite controversially got rid of their manager, Watford. Now, they got rid of Kike Sanchez-Flores at the end of the season for reasons no one's particularly sure of, other than the fact that they didn't get on, maybe, the manager and the chairman and other just default reasons. I'm not really sure there were reasons so much as Watford seemed to like to change managers. Now, they brought in Walter Mazzari. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that one correctly. And he's got a fairly good record in Serie A. So it's almost a similar kind of thing as the Swansea manager. And they've shown some ambition, I'd say, in the transfer market. They've signed some good players. Isaac Success, great name, by the way. Isaac Success from Granada for £12 million. Christian Cabaselli from Genk for £5 million. And Bryce Jadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadjadj And they've only lost Miguel Layún, who just didn't really do it in the Premier League, and Gerardo for £1 million. I think they've made some good transfers, but again, it's one of those questions of, is this a club that's being run in the right kind of ways? And is this a manager who's going to adapt terribly well to the Premier League? I'm not convinced.
I think Mazzarri, well, he didn't really, I know he got sacked at Inter, he had a pretty poor record there, but at Napoli he was very good, and he's really, I know we're going to come on to them later probably, but he's really set the foundations for them to become like one of the big challengers, the big teams in Italy. I think sacking Flores, as you've said, is crazy, but I think Mazzarri's a decent, he's a decent appointment, and I think he'll do well. I think the key for them is Igalo and Troy Deeney. Can they replicate their great seasons that they had last year? I think that's the absolute key.
I think success will be a success. he was a player I'd had a couple of looks at back at his old club, and I like what I see with him. They're a side that I think will be okay. I don't think they're going to be pulling up any trees, but I could see him finishing about 14th, 15th, never really getting into any trouble.
Well, this is the thing, I think, with Watford, and this is where I see him as being kind of similar to Newcastle. In a sense, I think, here's what's going to happen with Watford. They went up, last year they came up. Yeah, it was last year they came up and they did decently well. They avoided relegation. I think they'll have another 2 or 3 years of that. Settling in, doing all right, maybe 10th place at a push. Then they'll go down for no real reason. I think the whole problem with what Watford are doing is so ad hoc. It's so every season it just seems to be a new random plan. There's no actual forward planning here at all. You look at the players they're signing and as much as you can say, okay, no, but this is a good individual player, this is a good individual player. You're looking at them going, what are Watford trying to do? What are they trying to do with their managers? What are they trying to do with this team? And as much as, you know, you'd maybe want to say, oh, no, this could work out. I just think historically, this kind of approach to Premier League football never works. It always comes undone eventually.
Hmm.
That was great.
Oh, I didn't expect that. Well, I agree the signing of success. I think that's a good one. He seems like a good Premier League sort of player. Fast, powerful, good winger. Yeah, like I said, as much as I think Watford will be fine this season, if I was a Watford fan long term, I would personally be worried. Because there doesn't seem to be any clear direction for the club. But alright, maybe we've run out of Watford talk. Let's talk about West Brom. I've already mentioned them. I've already said that I think they're a club with absolutely no ambition. They're a club that are just about happy to not be relegated. And they're approaching the transfer window in this exact fashion.
What do you expect? A consistently okay Premier League side, I think. No, but
I don't buy that. I think you take away Tony Pulis, that club goes down every season.
Definitely.
But the thing is, if you're a manager like Tony Pulis, there's only so long you can keep up a bad team. It's like when David Moyes went to Man United and he suddenly realised this team is not half as good as I thought it was. There's only so long a good manager can keep a good team going before eventually something just slips. Something just does not work the way it's supposed to. They've signed Matt Phillips for £5 million. I think that's the only piece of transfer business they've done so far. They've lost their backup keeper, they've lost Victor Anichebe, who they signed for quite big money, lost him on a free transfer, lost Stefan Sessegnon on a free transfer. For me, West Brom, my money's on them to go down. That squad is arguably the worst squad in the Premier League, especially if they go and lose Berahino. If they go and lose Berahino and do not replace him.
Is Berahino all that or not? Because I don't think he's worth 20 million or whatever. If the team comes in and offers 20, 25 million, I think they should just take it and run. I don't think he's that good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But the difference is, for me, when you're a club of West Brom's level, a striker who can go and get you 10 goals, 12 goals, that can be the difference between you staying up and you going down at that level.
Who's a better striker for me.
Yeah, I know. He's a decent striker, but at the same time, you'd have to look at the other teams that are going to be down there and say, they've got strikers just as good. You know, Watford, you'd say that they're going to be probably around that area. I'd personally go ahead and say the likes of Ighalo and Deeney were better strikers than Rondon. I just think you look at West Brom's side, it is relegation candidates. The only thing you say they've got going for them is they've got a striker who can get them 10 goals, and at that level that will keep you up. They're probably going to lose him. And they've got Tony Pulis, who is a great manager, but even a great manager cannot keep a side going forever.
I think
West Brom fans can't abide him.
Yeah, it's almost like the West Ham thing with Sam Allardyce. They've got a very good manager, they're just not really willing to admit it.
I think West Brom will be okay. They're not going to be exciting to watch. They're just going to be one of those sides in the Premier League. They'll finish 15th or something. They'll be all right, though. I think it'll be quite clear. They won't really ever be in any trouble, I think, because of Pulis, as you've said. But,
West Brom, for me, are one of those sides that if they disappeared out of the Premier League, you wouldn't notice.
Yeah, no one would really care that much, other than maybe Villa fans who kind of want to play them. But hey, at least they'd be in the same league this time.
Well, not if Villa get relegated again, which is...
no one's particularly optimistic about Northern/Brummy-era football. It's just not good. West Brom, one of those clubs I look at, and I think you're a Premier League club, you've made it, you're at the highest echelons of possibly football around the globe. Why are you just happy to just sit there and... just wait to die, basically. Because that is a club that's just waiting until they go down. That's it. That's all they're doing. Being patient about it.
They'll happily take the TV money every year and just be an average Premier League club and just, take the money and that's it. Plod along happily.
I know, but that's so miserable. Even if you're a club, you think...
I agree with you, but...
If I was a West Brom fan, I was looking at this side and I was, thinking about our future prospects. I just think, we are just waiting to go down. Maybe it won't happen this year, maybe it won't happen next year, but we are just waiting for that eventuality. That's all we're doing. We're not trying to keep ourselves safe, we're just trying to not die. That's it. That's our life. Like, yeah. Jesus, at least in, you know, real life, we get to pay taxes and maybe get married before we die. What have the West Brom fans got going for them in the world of football? Maybe they sell their player.
FA Cup or something.
Oh, it's just, I do wonder about what some clubs in the, you know, the sort of the boardroom and that level, what they're actually thinking. Because, I mean, what's it, Jeremy Peace, who runs West Brom, is he thinking, yeah, we'll be safe forever. We'll just keep going along like this. Surely he knows it's just a matter of time if they just continue to have this sheer lack of any investment or ambition.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, let's be more optimistic now, and I think there is a good reason to be optimistic here. AFC Bournemouth, they got Eddie Howe, a hugely talented manager, and they've been busy in the transfer window, especially for a club of that level. They've signed Jordan Ibe from Liverpool. Quite a surprising signing, I thought. £15 million. He was fairly highly rated in the Liverpool camp. Maybe not rated highly by Klopp, but £15 million, I think that's not ridiculous money, whilst also being a bit absurd for the fact that players only played, like, what, half a season in the Premier League. They signed Lewis Cook, another highly rated player from Leeds. Lise Mousset from Le Havre for £5 million. Brad Smith, the left-back from Liverpool, for £3 million. They've lost Matt Ritchie and they've lost Tommy Elphick, and I think Lee Tomlin's also gone. But I'd say this is a club in polar opposites to West Brom. In a transfer market, they're clearly showing some ambition to go and do something.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth will do all right. I don't think... I think, well, it's kind of like West Brom, really, just making sure they stay in the Premier League's the main thing. They've done, yeah, it's optimistic. It's different to West Brom, but I think, you know, in the same manner, I think the objective has got to be staying in the Premier League. If he keeps in the Premier League, he's done well. If they finish, you know, 17th, they've had a great season as far as I'd see it. I don't know if Bournemouth fans are a bit more ambitious than that, hoping for maybe, you know, top half or something, but I think that's beyond their capabilities.
You've said that they're, like, sort of comparable to West Brom, and personally I think they're comparable in the terms of being sheer opposites. I think they're comparable to Swansea 3 or 4 years ago. Now, they know they're probably not going to go ahead and do that amazingly, but at the very least they're going to do things their way. They're going to play their kind of football, they're going to do their thing. You look at those signings and you think, there was thought put into these. They're signing these players because they know they're going to play a certain type of way, they're going to fit into their kind of system they want to do things. That's clear. It's the opposite of the Watford situation, where you're just signing a whole bunch of really good players and going, okay, maybe this will work out eventually, facilitating sort of a team together. You can see what they're trying to do at Bournemouth, and I do like that approach of where they're saying, okay, maybe we're not going to win the league, maybe we're not going to go ahead and get Champions League football or Europa League, but we're going to play our way and we're going to entertain our fans and we're going to do things properly, old school football style. I like that. I like the approach they've got.
I think this momentum with Bournemouth at the moment, I wouldn't have them down as being fighting a relegation battle.
Yeah, me neither. I think they'll be more than safe.
More optimistic than I am. I think they'll be in the relegation battle myself. I think they'll stay up, but I think they'll be in the battle to be relegated.
I wouldn't be shocked if they went to finish 11th, 10th, 12th. That's
would you be shocked if they were relegated?
I would be quite surprised, but at the same time, I would also say that squad is still not, you know, as much as I think that by playing their own kind of football and by doing things their way, that could push them to sort of a 10th place finish. I also think that that team is not better than, say, 15 other teams in the Premier League. So if they went down, it wouldn't be a big shock in that sort of sense. So
I'd be more shocked for them to go down than I would for them to finish 11th.
Yeah, that's essentially kind of what I'm trying to say as well. As much as for the you read that team on paper and you go, yeah, that's probably a team that might be going down. But you look at what they actually do on the pitch and how they play, and you especially look at their, you know, the manager and what they did last season, you'd have to think, no, actually, this is a club on the up. This is a club that can do well. So, yeah, I'm personally very optimistic about what they can do, and I'm quite happy that we have another South Coast side doing well and actually showing good kinds of ambition. Maybe you're not going to, you know, say, oh, we'll be the biggest club in the world in 10 years' time, but at the very least, and this is where, for me, it's different to clubs like Watford and West Brom, you're saying, we're going to do things our way. We'll bloody enjoy ourselves if we're going to do this. If we're going to be in the Premier League, and if it's only going to be maybe a short time, we're going to actually put our mark in it, and people are going to be talking about the way AFC Bournemouth played football. We're not going to be saying, oh, and then West Brom died and who cared? They're trying to do something. I like that. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about the three promoted sides now. Let's talk about the one who is being possibly the most ambitious, Middlesbrough. Now, they have done business in the transfer market. They've signed Martin De Roon from Atlanta for £12 million. He's very highly rated. He's a defensive midfielder. They've signed Victor Fisher from Ajax for £4 million. Antonio Barragan from Valencia for £2 million. Victor Valdez on a free. Gaston Ramirez, who was on loan there, they've signed him on a free. They've brought Negredo in on loan. And they've just barely lost anyone. I mean, you look at the sort of players they've lost. It's Jonathan Woodgate on a free transfer and Reece Williams on a free transfer.
And didn't they bring another decent keeper in as well?
I can't see. I mean, unless it's happened in like the last week or so.
Guzan, sorry.
Brad Guzan, did they bring him in?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's not on my list. But yeah, Brad Guzan as well. Bernardo Espinosa, a centre-back from Sporting Gijon, is another one I've just found there. I think they, for me, it's an ironic position considering everything I've just been saying, but they're almost doing things in the Watford kind of way, signing a lot of good players. But ironically, I think they're showing a sort of ambition, especially with the signing of someone like Negredo. That's them saying, we want to be something in the Premier League. We want to be a big deal.
It's a risky gamble. They're sort of splashing the cash perhaps before they've got the cash.
Mm.
But if it works, then they get the cash.
Yeah,
I think Middlesbrough...
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I think Middlesbrough are going to have a really strong season. I think they're going to be sort of solid mid-table, like way away from the relegation. I think they've signed, you know, excellent players. And I've just got a good feeling about Middlesbrough. Barragan's a good player as well. You know, you've got the big names like... Negredo, as you've mentioned, Valdez, but Barragan's a good player. There was one of the others who you mentioned, Fischer as well, Victor Fischer at Ajax. I know he was wanted by a lot of teams as well, 4 million, and that's an absolute bargain. I don't know about
with Fischer, because Fischer was one of them that, like, through Ajax, in his first season, was absolutely amazing. He was sort of taking the limelight off Christian Eriksen when they were there. And whilst Eriksen kept on rising and rising on his stature, that Victor Fischer pretty much plateaued and level and went downhill.
I wouldn't say but I think for 4 million he's worth a pun. He's a great signing for that level.
There's a reason why Middlesbrough got him for 4 million and nobody else went in for him.
I mean, personally, I think there's sort of a two-sided argument to this is. And this is my feeling, is almost like what I said with France at the Euros, they're either going to do, you know, terribly or go on and almost win the thing, which they did. And I look at Middlesbrough and think either they're going to go off and have a really good season, because they've got really good players, they've got a good manager, or that club is going to implode. Because we already know that there's tension between the board and the manager. They kind of wanted him gone, and he didn't quite go. So we already know there's a lot of tension there, and a lot of these players, at the same time as whilst you're saying there are a lot of good individuals, just what happens if they don't gel? What happens if with the players they've already got, just there's no real cohesion in that team? Because if you're a team that is maybe of the mentality that we might be facing a relegation battle, and you don't have that team cohesion, that can be what sends you down. So I think I agree with kind of what Richard said. They've taken a big risk, and I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either they will really cement themselves in the Premier League this season, have a strong finish, 13th place, that kind of level, or they'll go straight down. They will collapse and implode and just sort of have a manager sacked within 3 months and all that lot.
And the amount of money that they're pumping into these buys and the wage bill of Victor Valdez and Negredo is going to be astronomical.
I can't think of another recently promoted side that must have a wage bill that size. It's got to be huge.
Well, you know, if they go down, they're losing a lot of cash.
Hmm.
It's the ambition, though. You're saying about, you know, teams like West Brom who aren't going to go anywhere. Middlesbrough is showing some serious ambition. And, you know, I think they'll do well, as I've said. I think it's a, you know, great ambition they're showing. And
they're showing ambition, but they're doing it, you know, it's West Ham perhaps on a poker table. They're just putting like one chip on everything and hoping that keeps them alive every year. Middlesbrough basically just put everything on red.
Yeah, for me, I think you're completely right. They are showing good ambition. And in comparison to a team like West Brom, I think that is a good thing to see. But they're showing ambition in the right way. Personally, I like the sort of Bournemouth approach. We're maybe not going to uproot any trees in the signings we make, but we're going to try and do things our own way. We're going to try and, you know, we're going to try and make our own little mark. I think with a side like Bournemouth, if it goes badly, you don't lose that much. But if it goes well, you gain masses because you haven't actually gone out and, you know, spunked a whole bunch of cash and all that sort of stuff. With Middlesbrough, if it goes well, you've really had to pay your way to get into it. And if it goes poorly, it is a disaster. So it's a real risk.
Like, go and do like a Leeds or something.
I think clubs are a little bit more financially secure than, you know, maybe Leeds were when they had their disaster years. But at the same time, if they went down this season, I would not bet on them coming up for a good few years. I wouldn't predict them to go and get relegated again, but because of the amount that their wage bill will be, the amount they've spent on these players, and the fact that their value will just collapse, and the fact that maybe some of the rest of the players they've already got are not that amazing, if they went down, I think they would seriously struggle as a club to keep up the kind of momentum they've been slowly building season after season.
But then look at someone like Newcastle. They've gone down, they've managed to sell their decent players for quite a bit, and they're you know, hot favourites. They're almost certainly going to, they're probably going to win the championship. They're almost definitely going to get promoted.
Oh, I mean, I think Middlesbrough done it more in a QPR way, though.
Yeah, that was exactly the point I was going to make. As much as, sort of, if you look at Newcastle having going down, the reason Newcastle are doing kind of well at the moment in terms of the transfer market is because their manager was so tight-fisted and he just would not give them the money. So they had plenty of it if it went badly. And the reason they managed to sell some of their players is because their players who went down already had big enough reputations that they could get sold for a lot of money. The likes of Wijnaldum and the likes of Sissoko already had big reputations, big international reputations as well. I think with Middlesbrough, let me put it this way, Martin De Roon, let's say they get relegated in Middlesbrough and he has a decent season, will they be able to sell him for more than 12 million the year after?
No, but like Valdez and Negredo is only on loan. Valdez is obviously, you know, someone who'd get another chance in a big league, for sure.
I think they are taking a really big risk. Yes, it's good, but they're showing the kind of ambition they're showing. But in this kind of QPR way, if it all goes wrong, there's every chance it can go disastrously.
Yeah, and that is a risk, yeah. But I think on balance, it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, okay, I can see that argument, I can see that point. Okay, let's talk about another club. Now, let's talk about Hull City. Now, very entertaining news with Hull City. No transfer arrivals, two players out on a free transfer, and no manager. So lots to talk about with Hull. But no, in all seriousness, what's going on at that club? Who can they get?
They've still got the absolute batshit crazy owner.
Alam, yeah, they've still got Alam. He's still there. He's kind of, I think he's making very big motions to selling the club. But I mean, you look at the moment, they don't have a manager. They've lost Steve Bruce for just, you know, the only way you can say Steve Bruce less is for reasons. That's it. You can't be specific about the reasons. There's just reasons. Didn't like the owner. Owner didn't like him. Realised that club was maybe not going anywhere. Went, okay, I'm going to bail out before I get sacked and have my reputation ruined.
But if there was ever a club that I would be putting money on getting relegated, it would be Hull.
I mean, okay, let's try and be a little optimistic. Who could they get as a manager?
Don't know.
Tim Sherwood.
Did I sound like Chris Tamara then or something?
No, it was just sort of like, let's try and be optimistic. They're not even going to have a manager.
I don't know.
It would be a manager that in the last 12 months has been willing to take the Leeds job.
I think that's almost precisely it, isn't it? Because when you look at the sort of the manager market at the moment, they've all kind of gone. All of the good ones, all of the ones you'd want, they've already gone to other clubs, and you think, Christ, they have left this so late for doing this. I mean, I know they probably didn't anticipate Steve Bruce getting sacked, but I also imagine Steve Bruce was in that boardroom every other day saying, can I have some money, please, to go and sign some players? Can we do something? Can we actually try and look like we're not just going to go down? They should have known there was unhappiness there. I genuinely think Tim Sherwood would be the best they could do, and he does not have the best of records of relegation clubs.
It depends. They could, you know, if the owners do show ambition or something, I don't know. You know, it's possible, but unlikely, I think.
I think because the owners are trying to sell the club, I don't think they actually even like the club particularly anymore because of, you know, the fans and all that lot, which the fans are completely on the bloody right side of it, by the way.
No, they should be allowed to change their name to Hull Tigers, I think.
Oh, bollocks, that's just crap. This isn't rugby. This isn't even American football. No, I just think, if you're a club like Hull, you're talking about clubs of ambition and clubs of, you know, relatively little ambition. I think Hull's only ambition at the moment is to, like, explode or something. As a club, I just think that's what they're looking to do. I think the owner is just going, right, you don't like me, you don't want me, fine. I'm going to leave and it's all going to go to shit and I'm getting rid of the manager too. Goodbye, no new players. It's just like, what are they... I don't understand.
This sounds like a petulant child.
Well, have you seen Alan? That is exactly what he's like.
See, this is possibly the reason why I don't tend to take part in the 72 show. And I know, without trying to sound too derogatory towards it, if the likes of Hull can come up, how shit is the rest of it?
Oh. Steve Bruce is a good manager.
But Hull?
They come up through the playoffs, it kind of is a lucky, there's a lot of luck in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say for Hull is they had a very good side for the Championship, but I don't actually think they've got a good enough side for the Premier League because their side has not got any better than it was last time, and they've lost a good manager, and the Premier League has got better, and I don't think those players have.
I just want to say to Richard as well, sorry, just briefly mention the Championship. If you want to say the best side in the Championship, obviously it was Middlesbrough, and Burnley will come up automatically. The third best side in that championship is quite clearly by way Brighton. And, you know, there were other teams who, well, perhaps better than Hull, but I think you're being a bit harsh, basically.
Okay. I'll agree with you on that one. But, okay, does anybody here think Hull will be all right? Like, you know, they'll stay up and they'll be decent. Does anyone think that?
I don't at the moment, but if they bring in a decent manager and, you know, things may turn around, but it's very unlikely.
Well, this time last year when we were doing our predictions and such, we all like had Leicester to go down and such. I would be betting my firstborn on Hull going down, but I would not. I'd be then waiting at the end of the season for somebody to come along and take my firstborn away when Hull win the league.
Want Richard's child getting killed with
you can get 1,000-1 on Hull to win the league. Maybe it's worth a bet.
No.
That's better odds than Leicester was.
Jesus, those are quite good odds, relatively. No, I personally think Hull are just money on.
I had heard, though, on the betting odds that because of Leicester, that there isn't the 5,000-1 odds anymore.
No, there isn't. I can't remember who it is. There's one bookie still offering 5,000, but most of them are only offering up to 1,000 now.
All right, let's talk about the last Premier League club we've talked about. It's Burnley FC. Now, they've not pulled up any trees in transfers. They've signed two players from Charlton. Johan Berg Gudmundsson, who obviously we saw in Iceland shirt, and Nick Pope. They both signed him for about £3 million altogether. They've not really lost any players. But for me, I think Burnley will be fine, mainly because I think that club, and especially the manager and Sean Dyche and the rest of those players, have learned a hell of a lot since they last went up.
You've not lost any players. They've lost Joey Barton.
Okay, yeah, they lost Joey Barton, but I'm not sure how much of a job he was still going to do in the Premier League. Championship,
no,
yes.
He was their best player last season. He was there, along with Craig, he was their best, one of their best.
Maybe we can say Joey Barton. Personally, I don't think it's a massive loss for the club. For me, I think the thing is that as much as like we say with Hull, that they've got basically the same squad as when they went down the first time and that squad has not improved, I think with Burnley, the squad has improved. You saw the way they played last season in the Championship and, you know, defer to the 72 show for this. But they were a team that just seemed a lot more intelligent about what they were doing. They just seemed a lot more practical. And as much as, you know, they came in up last time and they were saying, right, we're going to play this attacking football, but they didn't really have a plan B. I think this time Burnley, They're a lot more street smart. I think that, especially in this sort of Premier League era, when smaller teams can really uproot and, you know, do well, I think Burnley are well in line for having a good season.
Well, they didn't really do a lot of signings. Last time they came up, when they came up a couple of years ago, and they've not really... They signed a few players, but nothing major, and their squad hasn't really changed. It's changed enough to, you know, bring in the fresh legs, but overall it's been relatively consistent, and, you know, it's good on Burnley. I do think they could do with one or two stars in that side, but overall, yeah, they're practical and they'll probably be all right, I think. I'll tip Burnley to stay up.
To me, they remind me a bit of Norwich in that they're very good Championship players, but they're Championship players.
I can see what you're saying, but I personally think that those players, like, for instance, unlike the Hull ones, unlike the Norwich ones as well, I think those players have improved a lot in the last, since they went up to the Premier League last time. I think those players have improved a lot. So whilst the team has not changed massively, I think it has got a better team.
I would like them to stay up, but I think they're certainly they're in the mix of four clubs that will be going down.
Yeah, I'd say there's four or five clubs to be going down, but I do think they're better than three of the other Premier League sides. I think they've got a good enough team to stay up, especially with the manager they've got.
For me, it's Hull, Burnley, Swansea and West Brom. Three out of those four clubs are going down.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm interested to see how Andre Gray does in the Premier League as well. He obviously had that fantastic season. He was player of the 72, it'll be interesting to see, because you know you get some strikers who score a bucket load in the Championship and don't progress into the Premier League, and some that do, it'll be, you know.
Okay, let's talk about the last few signings that have happened since we did the last show. Now, there's two that are notable. And, you know, silly season's on board, so let's go with Leroy Sané. £37 million to Man City. Richard, your opinion.
Well, what I love about this sign, is that last year, you bought Anthony Martial for an initial fee of £36 million. That's all about how United spent £36 million on this player that had only had a few months of being decent. Sagne comes in from the German League, and he's considered the best buy of the transfer market so far.
Well,
he is a very, very good player, which to me shows a bias in some of the papers.
Yeah, well, no, I agree with you in that sense, but I think that's also, it's like the other double-edged sword of being as big a club as Man United. On the one hand, you will get all of the news, you will get all of the press, you will get all of the good stuff. On the other hand, you will get all of the bad stuff too. So because Man United are such a big club, the signing of Martial will always eclipse the signing of Sane in terms of, will he do well, will he do bad, will he do well? There'll be 100 articles within one day of it, and that's just on one bloody website. Man City are not as big a club yet, especially not in the media, so they're not going to attract the kind of attention from those kind of signings, so you're less likely to get the very critical voices coming through who are saying it for the sake of being controversial, or the very praising voices coming through saying it for the sake of being controversial.
I think the difference with Martial was he was the big hope for Man United because there wasn't a lot of other, you know, forwards in their side, and he was the big hope. Sane, if he flops, it won't really necessarily mean that City are going to have a terrible season.
I think there's also the presumption that because it's a Guardiola signing, it will be a good signing. It's almost like when Louis van Gaal came into Man United and he signed the players he signed. It was like, okay, it's Louis van Gaal, so it's got to be good. It's all got to be you know, thought out well, and it's all. But you sort of go, sometimes it's not always the manager, sometimes it's the club. Like Sane was being linked with City, I think it's been linked with them for about a year now, hasn't he? That's longer than Guardiola has been linked with them. I mean, maybe you could say he sent in a word ahead of time, but I personally think the money is crazy. I'm not going to turn around and say, you know, the money that you were talking about, Pogba and all that lot, is crazy, and then not say this is crazy money. This is crazy money. I don't think any young player should be worth this kind of amount, no matter how good their potential is, because in the end, they are paying by and large for potential. He could go on to be a world beater. He probably will go on to be a world beater, but it's still such daft money. And here's the thing as well. If he had moved to, say, Dortmund, he'd have moved for 25 million, tops. He's moved to an English club. He's moved to a big English club, so he moves for about almost 40 million. It's almost like the English clubs are purposely getting ripped off now. And I can't see why they're letting it off.
A bit on that, because how much wasn't Renato Sanchez with the add-ons?
He was 25 initially, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But the add-ons take it plus 40.
The add-ons, I think, put it up to 60-odd, I think.
I'm talking about initial transfer fees. I'm talking about the upfront costs. Come on, you can't disagree that Premier League clubs are being made to pay more just because they are Premier League clubs.
The big clubs have always...
You know, the Premier League clubs have got more money.
Yeah, and so everyone knows they can overcharge them. And what I can't understand is why the Premier League clubs can't sometimes just turn around and say, well, if we were another club in another league, you wouldn't be asking for this kind of money. And just sort of turn around and say, well, if you kind of want to sell him and you're going to want this money, we'll just wait until you have no other higher bids than this.
Well, if City... The thing is, though, if City... Trying, if it was known City were going out for Sane and couldn't afford him or decided not to buy him at that price, that would make the club look weak in the transfer market.
Yeah, I know, and this is half the point now. Like, it's the kind of point I think a lot of people are sort of making about money in football nowadays, is that it doesn't actually exist in any real sense. Like, there's no actual sense of quantitative value. Of any kind of objectiveness. It's literally just all about perception. It's all about, they may be worth this amount of money because we value them to a certain way, and because we have to look like we're doing good work, and then because we have to look like a club that can pay this money, and then they have to look like a club that's going to demand this. It's just all literally, it's literally half the time, I think, with these transfer fees, somebody's pulled a figure out of roughly the air and gone, this is about right. This is about the value this kind of player should attract. And I think if you ever want to see transfer values go down, we've kind of got to get a bit past that kind of mentality. There needs to be some sort of baseline for what a player is worth. But the more transfers that happen like this, the worse it will get. So, boo on you, City. The other one is, and this is, we slated Everton in the last podcast we did. They've listened to us. They have read this podcast, they've heard this podcast, and they have decided to sign Idrissa Gueye for £7 million from recently relegated Aston Villa. So, has that solved all of Everton's problems?
I think Gueye and Cleverley in the Everton midfield will really send them on their way.
Jesus Christ.
I think Everton, the business that they're going to be doing is going to be in the selling market still, with the fact that they're wanting £75 million for Lukaku.
Again, that's another example of a figure pulled out of the air. I will say this, though. As much as I'm sort of, poking fun, I think Idrissa Gueye is one of those players who was always going to be terrible in a side like Aston Villa, but I think will go on and do good things at a club like Everton. I think that's actually a fairly quite a smart signing.
He did have a lot of hype around him before he joined Villa. He was seen as one of the best signings they'd made, and there was a lot of talk. You know, what if he'd have moved to Leicester instead of Kante? You know, would he have been... I'm not saying he's that good, but, you know... In a parallel universe, what if Kante had joined Villa and Gueye had joined Leicester?
Well, Villa would have won the league and Leicester would have gone down. Never would have happened ever. There's no amount of parallel universes in all of existence that would ever have Villa winning the league last year. Okay, let's talk quickly about international transfers. The big one. Juventus have signed the player that Arsenal really wanted, Gonzalo Higuain, for $76 million.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for a perpetual bottle job.
He's one of the best strikers in the world. He's top, say, about fifth best striker in the world, something like that. It's a lot of money, and, it's his buyout fee, I guess.
The real dearth in top-level strikers at the moment in the world.
The thing is, if you're going around, who else can you sign for that? You know, what other top strikers are there? You're not getting Lewandowski from Bayern. They're not getting Suarez. They're not getting Aguero, you know.
That's just it. It shows how few top-level strikers there are.
And therefore how overvalued the ones that are around there. I mean, I can make sense of this for Juventus, personally. If, like, say, for instance, Arsenal had gone out and paid this money, I'd have said, no, that's just bloody crazy. Juventus, at least, he's playing in the league he's played in for a long time now, and he's consistently scored goals in that league. Maybe he hasn't done it for international, and maybe he sort of balks at the big moments in the big tournaments. But he's played consistently in that league, he's done well in that league, and he's a player you can say that if he goes on and does well at Juventus, he will either stay there for the rest of his career, and therefore they'll get their money's worth eventually, or they could sell him for more to a Premier League club. There's still that potential. So
what Juventus have done is basically they've done a buying this summer. They've got the best player from Napoli and they've got the best player from Roma.
Oh, yeah.
They've weakened their two main rivals and improved themselves by doing it.
The Napoli chairman's had a go at Higuain, hasn't he, for calling him disloyal and that when he's believing.
Yeah, whilst pocketing $75 million in the process.
I
think with Juve, though, losing Morata is another thing, though, to Real Madrid. Obviously, they were forced to sell him due to the buyback clause, but I think that's a shame for them as well.
No, I think Higuain and Dybala is a better strike partnership than Dybala and Morata.
I prefer Morata to Dybala.
No, I don't. I think the contrast between Dybala and Higuain is a better contrast of two strikers.
Well, we'll move on from Higuain. We'll talk about Morata. Now, Madrid have signed him back from that they initially owned him, and then they sold him to Juventus for, what, $22 million, something like that? And they bought him back for $25 million, and now they're actually planning to sell him again in the same season. So they've basically said, okay, we'll put £3 million out in terms of transfer collective loss, and hopefully we'll sell him for more. I mean, I talked last podcast, about everything wrong with football and talked about Man United and the money they were spending, and I was saying, this is just a shit show. Okay, no. Real Madrid always seem to outdo Man United in being absolute bastards, and this is
Barcelona
foul football.
Like with De La Feo, Everton's a really good example. They sell their players all with buyback clauses, and
Dennis Suarez, like, they've recently done it, £2 million from Villarreal.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's a far worse one for £2 million for him.
Yeah, he's a very talented player. I just sort of look at this and go, I mean, come on, is this even real? You literally cannot even get away with doing this on Football Manager. He said, they won't let you sell the players again. This is madness.
But, I mean, what do you do? Do you ban buyback clauses? Do you ban all them deals? Because they'll happen whether it's above board or not.
Personally,
I wish United had a buyback clause on Pogba.
Oh yeah, Ronaldo.
Well,
or something like that.
It wasn't $100 million.
I mean, personally, for me, I put more of it down on the player for willing to be. If you're a player and you're willing to be used in this way, it kind of puts out where your values are in terms of football.
Morata's got no choice though. He didn't get a chance at Real Madrid, so he went to Juve. He's done. decent at Juve, and then it was his buyback clause. There was nothing Morata could do.
Yes, he can turn around and say, I don't want to leave. At the end of the day, he's still got to accept the contract.
The clause was that he had to sign for Real Madrid. He didn't have a choice.
I'm fairly certain modern slavery no longer exists in football, or at least it exists.
Not slavery. Like...
Yes, it is.
No, genuinely,
slavery being forced to change jobs against your will.
No, slavery's not.
That's part of it. Slaves got paid money. That's the difference.
Morata did not have a say in going back to Real Madrid. Genuinely.
I mean, I don't have that, you know, the documents or anything to hand. I will take your word on it if, you know, you've seen the evidence for it. I just think, Christ, this is all just a bit mad, isn't it? Is this football? Is this what it's come to? Just literally, it's basically almost like, you know, American football. We're trading players now. It's silly.
Maybe we should just bring in a draft and then it'll all be easier.
Oh, I don't think there's any solution for how messed up modern football is becoming. Okay, we talked about Napoli losing Higuain. They've signed in Arkadiusz Milic, the player who impressed for Poland. £27 million, so not a small transfer fee. That's a fairly big fee, but I would personally say not a fee in excess of what he's worth. £27 million is a lot of money, but at the same time, it seems about right considering the Euros he just had and the seasons he's been having.
He had a good Euros, but again, it's like Janssen as well. That him and Milik were the two big stars in the Dutch league, you know, the big strikers, physically as well as literally, as in star power.
What are you trying to tell us here, Anthony?
I think Spurs got the best of the two players.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because Dutch league strikers, you know, it's notorious for it, you know, playing in a small league like that. It's like what we're saying in championships, some will swim, some will sing, and I don't know, it could go on to be a very good bit of business. It could go on to be terrible. I don't know.
I'll put it this way, I wouldn't be shocked to see him in 2 or 3 years time moving to the Premier League or one of the other big clubs in the world for 40-50 million. Wouldn't be shocked at all.
No, I wouldn't be shocked, but I also wouldn't be shocked if he's going back to Ajax to PSV for 5 million in a couple of years.
All right, the other big movers, obviously, we've talked about Renato Sanchez a bit. They've also signed Mats Hummels by Munich. I mean, it's another perfect example of them signing Hummels. Almost of what we were saying before, of you just making... It's not so much about making your own team better, and I do think it does make their own team better, but it's as much about making your rivals worse. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that sort of cynicism at the top level of football. But on the plus side, Dortmund have been very impressive in this transfer window. They've signed Andreas Schürrle for £25 million, Mario Götze for £22 million, Sebastian Rode for £10 million, Rafael Guerrero, who impressed so much at the Euros, for £10 million, Mark Bartra for £6 million, and Dembele for £12 million. They've been busy.
I think
the Guerrero lad. Did you mention
Guerrero? They got him before.
Yeah, Guerrero. Rafael Guerrero.
Yeah. Yeah, they signed
great signings.
Oh yeah.
I don't think they're still particularly solid at centre back.
Bartra could come in and do really well. I think he's always had the potential, but never got the opportunity at Barcelona. It depends how much the buyback clause though is in there in.
I think for £6 million, especially if, let's say, they've got a buyback clause and he's there for 2 years and he has a great two seasons and they sell him for, you know, £10 million, even that's amazing, because £6 million in world football, that is tiny, tiny money these days.
Oh, it's a great signing, don't get me wrong,
To sign a player like that for that money, it's almost no risk.
I know Richard disagrees, but with Schürrle, I think he's an excellent, excellent player, and I know Richard could back me up on this, because we had a bit of a disagreement earlier about... because you don't rate him as highly as...
I don't rate him as highly, but I think this is bang on the right move for him.
Yep.
Because you've put him together with probably his two best mates.
Two best mates?
Yeah, in Royce and Götze.
Yeah.
You know, those three working together, and all three can sort of swap position between the three of them. That them three behind Aubameyang, and with perhaps Dembele coming in off the bench... That's one of the best strike options in Europe now.
Do we think Dortmund can challenge Bayern seriously this season?
I think they've got more of a chance than they have for a while. The one negative against it is they're up against Ancelotti.
Yeah.
I think Dortmund have got maybe slightly more of a chance, but no, I don't believe so. I'd say maybe, a 10% chance of winning the league? tops. I'm convinced Bayern will win the league at Canter.
I personally think Bayern will win it. I think Ancelotti is a proven winner in terms of managers, but I think Dortmund will push them quite close this time. I don't think it will be as much of an easy run as Guardiola's had in the Bundesliga for the last few years. A few more transfers to talk about. Schalke have signed Brile Mbolo. He was being heavily linked with Man United for 23 million. He's gone. Man United fans, are you kind of sad to have missed out on that one?
Not as much now after the Euros.
Cool.
I kind of agree with you. I thought he'd have an amazing Euros or do something, but he didn't really do a lot. He looks
very much raw potential still at the moment.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, has he done it in a big league? Not really. It's hard to, you know, playing for Basel, there's only so much you can prove yourself. He's done well at Basel, but, you know, it's like going well at Celtic or something, you know.
All right, the last few ones we've got are Barcelona have signed. They've not done anything massive, Barcelona, but they're sort of slowly trying to improve their team. Andre Gomez for 29 million, Umtiti, best name ever, 21 million, Lucas Digne for 14 million, Denis Suarez, as we said, for about 2-3 million. Is this just sort of trying to maintain their present squad, or do we think they've actually tried to improve the squad with these ones?
I don't really think they've improved the squad. Andre Gomez will probably challenge Busquets in the midfield, or maybe players well as him. Lucas Digne's a strange one though, 14 million, because I know a couple of years ago he was rated as, you know, potentially one of the best left backs in the world, and he just didn't do it at PSG. He went on to Italy, and then that's a really strange one for me. That's the one that stands out really. It's just a strange signing, I think.
It just seems a lot of good squad belt players that they've brought in, but not particularly ones that will take them to a next level. Because I really rated Andre Gomez before, again, the European Championships, and he was quickly sort of, as the games progressed, he played less, and Renato Sanchez played more.
Do we think Umtiti could become one of the best centre-backs in the world? He's obviously moved to one of the best clubs in the world. He's one of the highest rated youngsters in terms of centre-back positions. 21 million is big money for a centre-back. Do you think he can go on and get to that level?
Yeah, I do. I really like Umtiti. He's fast, he's quite powerful as well. He's got real potential about him. And I think, well, who do they play at centre-back at the moment? PK, obviously, and the other ones, not so sure, Mascherano, or is it Matteo, or, you know, he could be straight in the side next season, really. I can't think who the other centre-back is.
Yeah, he's a decent centre-back. I wouldn't say he's the best young prospect in the world at the moment. I'd give that to the young German lad, Tarr.
All right,
but
well,
he's top five.
Well, we've talked about Barcelona and Madrid, and I'd agree that, generally speaking, both clubs have not done as much as I thought they'd do in this season, because they've obviously both got the overhang of transfer bans coming in, or they've just got out of a transfer ban. I thought they'd do a lot more, but then we got the comparison, Atletico Madrid. Now, they have been busy. Kevin Gamero for £27 million from Sevilla, proven La Liga striker. Gaitán from Benfica for £21 million, and Vasico from, I think it was Shakhtar, was he at? Or am I thinking of Cerna? Croatian right back, Vasico. Yeah, Sassuolo, I think he came from, Vasico. £13 million. Now, I'd say they have improved. They have improved that squad. And for once, they have not lost their better players as well.
It depends if that stays, though, if you're saying the same thing in a month's time, if Griezmann's still there.
Well, he's just signed a new contract again.
I know, but that doesn't... I know he's signed a new contract, but, you know, if PSG or, you know, one of the big two come in with a ridiculous offer, do they have to sell him or... Or if a big Premier League club comes in and offers him...
I wonder what happened with the money at Atletico Madrid. Because I know that they've done well in Europe in the last few years and in the Spanish League. But not too long ago, they were over £500 million in debt.
Well, it's the Spanish League, so that debt might have just disappeared. It's very possible. that league is not known for its... excellent financial investigation. sometimes money just sort of doesn't really exist, or it did and then it doesn't, and who really knows? I mean, Christ, you look at sort of Real Madrid's finances, and that's so tied up with the state, and you just never really know what's going on at that club. They've spent a lot of money. I think for me though, because they haven't lost their players and because it maybe looks like for once they won't lose their players, with the players they've gone and signed, that is an improving squad. And considering how closely they've been pushing Barcelona and Madrid for these last few years, the fact that these clubs don't look like they're going to improve, or that maybe there is no longer the players in the market for them to go and improve, the business Atletico have done, I think they're in a very good position to challenge for the league again this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great title race, I think, next season. Between, you know, the three clubs, I think, yeah.
And the last transfer I want to talk about is PSG. The only big bit of business they have done is signed, and I'm sorry for butchering this, I know I will, Gregors Krychowiak, but they signed him for £28 million from Sevilla. He was another one who was very heavily linked with Arsenal, moving to Arsenal. Now, they obviously signed Xhaka. Do you think Arsenal fans will be missing out on that transfer?
Well, yes. Krychowiak's more what Arsenal need, because he's a more defensive midfielder. Xhaka's more of a box-to-box sort of player. I think that Unai Emery is a great signing for PSG as well, the manager. Laurent Blanc I liked, but Unai Emery is renowned as an excellent tactician, and he's done a fantastic job with Sevilla. I can't speak highly enough of him, and I think maybe they can get to that next level now.
I would have him down as the best defensive midfielder in the world.
I wouldn't rate him that highly, but he is very good.
I don't think there's many better at the moment.
Okay. If you are Spurs fans, they'll probably be reckoning Victor Wanyama's up there, but if you are Southampton fans, they won't agree. All right, okay.
PSG, sorry. Can I just say, I think it's interesting about whether they'll bring in a strike or not. I mentioned Griezmann just now, but are they going to trust Cavani as the main man with Ibrahimovic leaving, or are they? Because I think Cavani is capable of it, but I know he's not rated as much by others. I'm not sure. I think he's capable and deserves a chance. But
I can see Murat going there.
Yeah, that's a very possible. I almost think, like you've said with Cavani, they almost have to give him the chance because he's been pushed out of position whilst Ibrahimovic is there. Ibrahimovic is gone. It will almost be a massive kick in the teeth to Cavani if they say, yeah, you're still not playing up front. Yeah, you're still not going to get that position. He would almost have to leave then, wouldn't he?
I'd trust Cavani at PSG. I think he's capable.
All right, okay. Let's talk. Last thing I want us to do. I know we've still got a lot of pre-season left to go and the season hasn't started yet, but we're very nearly there. Who's going to win the league? Who's going to get top four? Who's going
to
go down? Richard? Yep, Richard, you go first.
I'm on completely on the fence between United and City to win the league. I can't call it. I think there's still buys for both clubs, past Pogba and Sané. I'm going Chelsea third, Arsenal fourth. And I'm going for Swansea, Hull and Burnley to go down.
Okay. Anthony?
All right. I will say Chelsea to win the league with City, United, and I'll go for a shot. I'll go West Ham to join them in the top four, just piffing Arsenal. And that will be the end of Arsene Wenger. To go down, Hull and Swansea. I'm not sure on the third club. I can't think. Who's there? Watford, West Ham,
Middlesbrough,
no,
West Brom.
Middlesbrough, no. I'm not sure. Sorry, that's really bad, isn't it?
we'll probably do this again towards when we get close to the season.
Yeah, I'll say Hull and who was the other one I said? Hull and Swansea definitely to go down.
I personally think Arsenal are going to win the league. I think this is Wenger's last year no matter what, and I think that will be enough of a push for the players. And I personally don't think any of the other Premier League clubs have improved that massively. I still think a lot of them are in transitional periods. I think if Arsenal were ever going to win the league at any point in the next 5 years, it's this season. I know it was last season as well, but it's this season. It's turning to Liverpool every year. Top four, I personally think Arsenal, Man United, Man City and West Ham.
Chelsea.
I I'm not convinced Chelsea have got good years coming up. I do kind of like Chelsea. My father's a supporter. I've been to see Chelsea games, and I've talked with a load of Chelsea fans. I like Chelsea fans generally, but I personally think they've got some bad years coming up. I think Man United have got Mourinho, who is a successful manager. He's a proven successful manager. He's arguably the best manager in the world. He will improve that side. He will get them top four. City, I think they'll get top four, but I don't think Guardiola's going to be good enough in his first season to win it. I think it really is set up for Arsenal, or potentially another kind of Leicester thing. And also, I'm going to say I think Leicester will finish fifth. That's the other thing I'll say. Relegated, I think Hull, I think Middlesbrough, and I think West Brom. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this week's VT Football Podcast. You will see us again very soon when we get the season started. I think it's, what, is it next Sunday that the Community Shield starts?
Yeah, Community Shield's next week. Yeah. Well, this week coming, I suppose. Following week is Premier League.
Football's coming back, guys, and it's not just going to be the crappy Euros. Right, okay, yeah, we look forward to doing this again next week, maybe before the Euros, or before Euros, before the Community Shield, maybe afterwards.
I was going to say, do we have to wait 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years for another show. No, thank you for joining us. You can look us up on Twitter, you can look us up on Facebook. Please check out our new website, vtfootball.com, or .uk, whichever one it is, you'll find us. Just Google it. .com. Google it, you'll find us. Thanks to Anthony and thanks to Richard. It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from us.
Goodbye.
Oh, I hung up the call again. I keep doing that.